You have been chosen. That's right. You have been chosen. You may not feel chosen. You may not think you look chosen, but you were chosen. You were created with a purpose in mind, and God is calling you to fulfill that thing that He created you to do. And He is not just doing that for Himself, but He is doing it, as Jesus told us, so that your joy will be complete. When you fulfill your purpose, your joy is completed. Even when the task ahead is scary and daunting. And that's all coming up straight ahead on Storming the Gates.
Welcome to Storming the Gates, a podcast that celebrates the power of prayer. You will be inspired, equipped, and find strength for every battle you face.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Storming the Gates podcast. And I am your host, Joni Scott. And we are going to begin today with exciting, but also soul-searching series on the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to pray through that book because when Jeremiah gave those words, the people were supposed to respond to them. So many times they didn't. So let's change that around. We're going to respond to them. I landed on Jeremiah one day, and I just felt God strain in my heart. I mean, I read it before. I even taught on it for a season. And one thing I love about Jeremiah is the way God's love and mercy and a bit of God's sarcastic humor is woven within the pages. And I felt as though God was saying, this is the message for my people in 2024. I had been listening to Jonathan Kahn's book on audio called The Josiah Manifesto. And as Jonathan Kahn does so well, he was making a compelling case on how biblical history often relives itself in our day and age. And in the book, he was focused on King Josiah's reign, his reforms, and how America has mirrored the days of that particular Judean monarch. It was fascinating stuff, but what made it more fascinating for me was when I realized that Jeremiah was called to be a prophet in King Josiah's 12th year. So if Josiah's kingdom could be a template for America the past 10 years or so, as Kahn asserts, and then what followed Josiah's reign? Jeremiah's prophetic call. So Josiah was a pause to a nation that was determined to forsake the rule of God. And Josiah turned to the Lord 12 years into his kingship, and then he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He tore down pagan practices and places and all the high places that no other king wanted to tear down. Now, this is interesting too, that I just learned. Josiah's rule and reforms were prophesied 300 years before. If you look at 1 Kings 13, verses 1 through 3, it says, the word of the Lord of a man of God that came from Judah to Bethel as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering. By the word of the Lord, this man of God cried out against the altar. Altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you, he will sacrifice the priest of the high places who make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you. Whoa, calls him right out by name. Just like the Judah in Josiah's times, today we are going through a season of mercy. So I personally live in a nation that scorns its Christian roots. And while we no longer have prophets running around in camel skin and eating grasshoppers and thundering from the desert, we do have the book of Jeremiah. And the same God who held back judgment then is still sending Jeremiah's voice to us to hold it back now. You know, it's a kindness of God to warn and call his people back to him in these chaotic times. So let's take a look here in chapter one. And I want you to stop this podcast and read Jeremiah 1 before you listen, if you haven't yet, because I'm only going to be focusing on three key verses in each chapter, and there is so much more packed into each one, and the context is so important. So let's move on to chapter one. You've been chosen. If you're here right now, it's because you've been chosen. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. So, what is it that makes us want to flee from the task before us? Jeremiah prophesied in Judah for 40 years. And we can conclude by that he was likely but a young man when he was first called. Meanwhile, Josiah was a boyish 20-year-old when Jeremiah was given this call, a call Jeremiah rightly acknowledged would normally go to the aged and wise. Who was he to take this call? I got to tell you, imposter syndrome is a real thing. I experienced it just getting on here doing a podcast. And who am I to share God's word? Why am I doing this? Well, my friends and family think I'm daft. So that really brings me back to a difficult time in my life many years ago. I was struggling with sin. Even as I was desperately clinging to the sinking ship of my ministry life. The Joni that I had known for 20 years was a zealous and unstoppable herald for God's kingdom. She lived a life of prayer and, as a pastor's wife, was involved or led almost every ministry at their small but active little church. But the Joni of that day sat slumped in a pew. Some musicians were discussing a series of worship songs that we were going to be performing for a concert at our county fair. And my mind was drifting away from the ramble about chords and percussion. And it followed a dark and sinister shadow that declared it unfit, unrighteous, and doomed. The sins I had committed were beyond reason for me. I had told the Lord I would never do some of the things I had done. Hadn't I made my vows to my husband the same way? Who was I? I didn't recognize myself in this broken, lost soul. Who am I? I whispered into the air. At that exact instant, the keyboard player burst into a song by Casting Crowns, and I had never heard it before. It was a new song at that time. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would dare to see my hurt? I sat up like, what? He's echoing my very question in this song. Surely this song is God's answer to me. And it continued, and it even posed another question that made my eyes flow with thick, painful tears. Who am I that the Lord who saw my sin would look at me in love and watch me rise again? Whoa, would I? Could I rise again? And the song ends, as you may be familiar with the line, I am yours. That was a direct answer. God was saying that no matter what, I was still his. You know, the days and years that follow are going to be full of loss and grief and exile. And in it, God continued to remind me that I was his. And if I belonged to God, he would redeem me. And one day he did. And he used the book of Jeremiah to do that. And so I and you and Jeremiah still pose this question in many ways. Who am I? And the answer is, I'm his. I belong to God. If you don't belong to God, get a hold of me because I want you to belong to him. It's the best and safest place to be. And if you do belong to him, he has a destiny chosen for you and his desires for you to embrace it and not turn away. If the sins of the past are causing you to resist the call, it's easy enough. Repent. Come clean. Accept the pain that confession produces as a gift. Let him cleanse your soul. And then we just hold open hands and surrender before the Lord and say yes. So, Lord, I pray for the call that you've put on people's lives, whatever it might be. I pray you bless them in that. I pray you speak to them in that. I pray that where they're saying no, where they're afraid, where the devil's getting in there with imposter syndrome, that, Lord, they will see it for what it is. They'll discern it. And they will rise by faith to the call you've put before them. Amen. The next verse I chose was verse 12. Because God gives Jeremiah a vision of an almond branch, and he asks the prophet, what do you see? And almond branch, he responds. Then the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. As we set sail to the call of God in our lives, what is it we need to know? First, that he did call us, which was verse 5. But equally significant is knowing that God is giving us his words, his task, and that he'll be with us each step of the way, and what we do will not be in vain, especially if it's a difficult, challenging task, right? And that's why God chose Jeremiah an almond branch, because this is a little bit of a Hebrew word. The word for almond sounds very much like awakening or watching. So you see, this is cool too. The almond tree is the first one to blossom in the land of Israel, and it's known as the awakening tree. The branches begin to bud and bloom in January. So right now, that almond tree is blooming. Didn't Jesus say something about discerning each season of our lives? In Matthew 24:33, he said, just as we see the fig tree blossom, we can know that summer is near. And here is the almond tree blossoming in January. That means God's on the lookout and preparing things well in advance. And if we'll but watch and pray, we can have understanding so we're not shaken when things occur that will rattle most men's souls. And this is the reassurance to Jeremiah. The words he gives Jeremiah are from him, and they're important to God. What you do for him is important to him. So he's not just sending you on to battle to get shot up. No. God is going to be carefully overseeing these prophecies, Jeremiah's words, and he can count on them coming to pass. Has God given you his word? Know that he's overseeing it well in advance, and he'll be certain to perform it. So Lord, we want to pray into that too, that you are watching over your word to perform it. Lord, we look at the promises that you've given us, the words that you've planted deep within us, and we know that your word is true, and we can count on that. Amen. The final verse for this chapter that I chose is Jeremiah 1:19, where the Lord tells Jeremiah, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now, earlier in the chapter, Jeremiah is a bit freaked out about this call. He says, I'm only a child. Like I said earlier, we know that he had to be pretty young because he ended up prophesying for at least 40 years, probably more like 50. Yet I know even at my not so young age, there are those times when God puts a task before me and I feel like a child. I really do, because I feel helpless, unqualified. I feel frightened. So I can relate to Jeremiah, and he has a choice. He can run like the Dickens or step into this battlefield. God didn't say, hey, Jer, you're going to be a huge TikTok star and people pour money into your ministry so you can stop flipping burgers for a living. Nope. God says, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, right? Sure, they will be angry and they will fight you, but I am with you to deliver you. Thanks, God. I was so shocked when the Lord first moved me into ministry that one of my first experiences was rejection. I didn't expect that. Aloneness, tears. Sometimes I genuinely felt forsaken by the Most High. And not to mention poverty, stress, betrayal. Yet in it all, God was with me and delivered me. And I wouldn't trade those years now for anything. I have precious moments to recall of God providing comfort, help, and finances. It was the proof in the pudding that he was indeed watching over his word and over me. It is what's given me courage over and over to step out and share his words with you, even today. So, Lord, we pray into Jeremiah 1, verse 19. Lord, you say that you will be with us, that you are with us to deliver us, that the enemy will not prevail against us, and you will. They will fight us, but you will fight against them. So, Lord, I thank you for that sense of protection. And we just pray and cover ourselves with that shield, knowing that you are a mighty shield about us as we move forward into the things that you've called us into. So let's summarize. God has a call in your life, and he's going to be with you in that call. It's his call to you. And you will face difficulties, but God will deliver you. Well, there are a lot of great verses and thoughts from Jeremiah 1, so take time, if you haven't already, to read the chapter and let the Lord minister his truth to your spirit. And then choose at least one more verse to meditate on and pray over yourself. Now, there is one last thing I want to cover before we close today, and that is I want to remind you once again to sign up for the newsletter. I am going to be sending out newsletters for each new podcast that will be for subscribers only. That is going to contain you know, extra information and free printables, such as the journal pages that will go along with our time in the book of Jeremiah. You will therefore be the first to hear about a new podcast, as well as a new blog post, which I'm excited about, some that will be coming your way very soon. And you are not going to miss a single one. And it is my definite highest intention that these podcasts come out weekly, but unfortunately, I am painfully aware that that is not going to be the case because there are many other duties in my life. So I really implore you to hit the link below, subscribe, and be ready for our next prayerful encounter with the book of Jeremiah. Lord, I pray for the listeners today. I thank you, Lord, that they care about your word, that they are called, and that they desire to answer that call with a resounding yes. I pray, Father God, that as they read your word and understand that you have a purpose for them, that they will embrace that and they will love it and they will be ready and know that you will be with them no matter what the enemy and the world may throw at them. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to Storming the Gates. Check the show notes for links to items mentioned in today's show. We'll see you here again for the next episode of Storming the Gates, a podcast that celebrates the power of prayer.